Imitation Song is 264, if you want to mark it. 264, we song heard. It is good to see everyone out. My imitation song, my closing song, may not necessarily go with the thing that I was trying to put out there. That I was trying to go along with the lesson for this morning on being like Christ. Do what he would do, follow in what he has given to us. As we would turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 21, to see that it tells us to do so. 1 Peter 4 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, which reads, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." So we used to have those bracelets. Remember when the bracelets were there? Everybody had a WWJD. What would Jesus do? And asking that question as you live your life in every situation that you go through upon this earth, as you make decisions on work, on school, on relationships, on how we should approach somebody, how we should react to something. And the question that should come to our mind, and it's a good point, and bracelets are a good idea as a reminder, or, you know, that question be on your mind, though, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus react? How would Jesus respond? What would Jesus do in the situation? If he was in the same situation that you are in today, what would he do? Because we should be following in his footsteps. That is what we are told that we should be doing. We should be looking to him to guide us in the right direction, to be following him and all that he has commanded us to do. And so this morning I want to look at a few points on what would Jesus do. And again, I'm going to do the same thing tonight and look at a few more points on what Jesus would do. And so we can bring out many things and probably bring out a ton of situations. I just want to open up the Bible and look at a few points of things that we know that Jesus would be doing daily. That things that Jesus would be doing in any situation in life. This is something that we can see Jesus continuously doing. So the first one I want to bring out is that Jesus would be praying. Jesus would be praying. You know, we are told in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And we are continuously to be praying. We can go to Ephesians chapter 6, and as you go through there and list the armor of God, at the end of it, he says praying always. It's something that we have been commanded to do, that we should be praying continuously. And as we look to Jesus, when we ask that question, what would Jesus be doing? Well, he would be praying. He would find time to pray in just about any situation. Our Lord and Savior would find time to pray. If you open up your Bibles and turn along with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, and you read along with me there in verse 7, brings out, as it's speaking about our Lord and Savior here, it says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear." And again, so Jesus, as he suffers, Jesus in all situations, he prayed. He prayed. And if you study the life of Christ, you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see Jesus continuously pray. He prayed all the time, and so much that the apostles would eventually ask him how to teach them how to pray. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Here is Jesus is baptized. And as he comes up out of the water, and after he has been baptized, and others are being baptized, we see, again, Jesus goes forth and prays. Luke 3, and in verse 21, it says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form, the dove, upon him. And the voice came from heaven, which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom, and you, I am well pleased.'"
So Jesus, after having been baptized, he prays. Again, an opportunity to be thankful, an opportunity that he prayed for the thankfulness that his Father's led him, set this example for us. Again, Jesus isn't praying for thanks for forgiveness of sin because he never sinned. He was blameless. And so it wasn't necessarily an offer of thanks for forgiveness, but an offering. As he goes to prayer, we're not told what he prays about here, but he has set the example. He has offered the opportunity to shine that light for us. And that when we are baptized, it's something we should pray about. When you're trying to make that decision, you should be praying before, you should be praying after, that you're able to continue to live that faithful life as you enter into this covenant with God. So Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. It brings out and says here, it says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. So here, Jesus praying. And it says he made sure to take time to pray alone. Pray by himself. Take time and have that one-on-one time with our God to speak to our Father up above. To be alone and at peace, to focus on talking to God. Went up on the mountain and prayed. We take time aside to make sure that we can go out by ourselves into our own room and into our own time to speak with God, to truly focus on what we're saying to him. Jesus prayed. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, or Matthew, or Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Luke 6, 12 is talking about the evening there. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says he rose early in the morning and prayed at night, prayed at evening. And so he prayed throughout the day. It wasn't just a certain time that, oh, I prayed this morning and so now I don't have to pray anymore. Or I prayed last night so I don't have to pray anymore. He prayed continuously, constantly. Our Lord would pray to our Father. Sometimes one time right after the other. If you look at the example as Jesus is about to be betrayed, and he goes into the garden. He brings his disciples with him. He tells them to stay there and wait. And he goes off on his own and he goes and prays. In verse 36, and Jesus came with them to a place of Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. So here he goes off and he goes and prays, then he returns, finds him sleeping, he wakes him up and says, what, you couldn't wait? Tells them they should be praying. They should be praying for strength. And he goes off and prays again, comes back and sees them asleep and he goes and prays three times in a row. It wasn't, I already prayed about it, so I don't need to pray about it again. He prayed continuously. Sometimes one right after the other. Maybe you get done praying and you say, no. You don't feel that burden taken off your shoulder yet. You don't feel like, you know, you say you want to pray again. You want to pray more. You want to, you know, maybe you feel like you forgot a few things. So you go back to prayer. It's okay. We see Jesus praying one time, after another. He just went back. Jesus sets the example that we should always be praying. We ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Jesus would pray. Jesus would obey the Father. Jesus would be obedient to the will of the Father. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Turn along with me there. Matthew 6 and verse 10. As it reads here, it says, as Jesus, again, we're talking about prayer, and the disciples asking him to teach them how to pray. So here's the example of the prayer. As he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here, as he goes to God in prayer, as you pray to the Father, your will be done. Just as it is in heaven, he said, it is in heaven, shall it be here on earth. That we all do according to what you desire us to do. what you want to take place. We sit here and we try to figure out what we want. Trying to make our decision, what I'm going to do, where I want to be in the future, where I want to be in the next 5 years. All those questions should come to the point of where does God want me to be? How can I be helping and aiding and be assisting of our Lord? How will this further His kingdom? We go to James chapter 4, as you can read with me here, James 4 and verse 13. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance." All such boasting. Here's, we set up our plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to build this. I'm going to save to be able to go here and go do this. Is that the way we approach everything? We say, if the Lord wills it, if He will allow me to raise funds to put aside for this, if He will allow me to go forth and go to this place or to buy this thing, but if the Lord wills. We have that mindset that when we set these plans in order, they get messed up and they don't go as planned, and we don't get to do what we wanted to do, we don't get to buy what you wanted to buy. We get upset and get mad. We sit there and, well, you know, I prayed about it and yet it didn't take place. And we accept the Lord's will. We try to force some things that we would just enjoy that are earthly pleasures. When we don't get them, we get upset.
I think I was telling Dayton the other day. I know I told Casey.
It's hunt season. I'm out in the woods from time to time, hoping to get a deer. Caught a nice one on my camera. So, oh, it's so hard not to sit in that tree and just pray, God, please let that deer come by me and let me shoot him. It's hard to figure out how to pray about that for me. You know, because I want to say I'm going to be thankful for it. It's nothing that got to do with, you know, righteousness. It's nothing to do with being okay and wrong. It's not evil. It's not sin. It's not that it's going to make me more righteous if I get it. So I sit there and I want to say, God, I'll be so thankful if you let me. Well, I should be thankful anyways. God, if you give this to me, then I'm not going to bargain. But I sure hope and pray that I get. At the same time, most of the time I go in the woods, I go, God, I'd love to just see some deer today. I'd love to see some animals. It's so fun. And then sure enough, you let a little four-pointer or two-pointer, which is a small bug, a little spike or something. I don't know, too small. So you have to decide, are you going to be upset that you just saw a small one, or are you going to be excited and happy? I got to see something. I got to see the creation of God. So much that we can look and we focus on the things that we want. If we don't focus on all that God has done good, we might miss out on some of the important things that God has done. We might ignore the good and beautiful gifts that He has put at your door that you just overlook. You have to accept God's will in all things. In Luke 22 and verse 42. Luke chapter 22 and in verse 42. Here it says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Again, as Jesus is praying, He's asking that His suffering doesn't have to take place. He's asking if there's any other way that it can be done. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but much as we want something to happen, your will be done. So again, we have to be ready to accept His will. Even sometimes when the outcome goes completely against us. not the greatest thing. It's not going to cause any joy. But it's simply what needed to be done. Another point to bring out about our God, our Lord and Savior, asking what would Jesus do? As he prays for the will of the Father, not only does he pray for that, and he's looking for the will of God and what to do with his obedience. He's faithful in all these things. When things start don't line up, that he neglects the commands that God has given to him. He says, well, I understand this is what you say, but it doesn't line up with what I say. What I remember. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish, without spot. That means our Lord and Savior, who never sinned. He was faithful to the end. That's what made him able to be our sacrifice. Because he is the Lamb without blemish, without spot. He never sinned as he lived upon this earth. He has never sinned. He was faithful in all things. As he was tempted, and as you study the life of Christ, there are so many more temptations than we realize. Because every time people would come to him and test him with questions, that's temptation to give the wrong answers. That's temptation to give in to what everybody else wanted to do. How many times they questioned him, put him on trial, they tested him. And Jesus is about to suffer as he's praying in the garden. There's temptation there. Temptation to flee. Temptation to call 10,000 angels. Temptation to not go forth. To strike everyone down. We know Satan took the Lord out into the wilderness and he was tempted. But our God remained faithful in all things. What would Jesus do? He would remain faithful in all things. 1 Peter chapter 2. We already read verse 21 at the beginning of the lesson. Verse 22 says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. So verse 21 says, follow in his footsteps. This is why you've been called to follow in Christ. In his footsteps. And this is what it tells us about our Lord and Savior. Whose footsteps we are following. He committed no sin. Again, we start off on the wrong path. We've all sinned. Falling short of the glory of God. That's why we're coming to Jesus. Because we need forgiveness of sins. But if you choose to obey the gospel. And you choose to accept the grace of God, to allow the blood of Christ to wash your sins away, then you made the choice to follow in his footsteps from this time point on. That you've chosen to put off the will of men, the will of the flesh, and put on the will of God. We go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We put on and we transform ourselves, no longer being conformed to this world, but being transformed, knowing the will of God. Being able to rightly divide the will, the perfect will of God. So we're going to remain faithful to our Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Again, here it brings out, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus knew no sin. Again, when we're asking this question, what would Jesus do? We're asking that in the eyes of temptation. As we face temptation from day to day, face temptation of what to say, what to wear, where to go, who do we let be our close friends? What would Jesus do? He's going to choose a path that goes along with the will of the Father. He struggles to see what that path is. He's going to pray about it. And as he opens up his Bible and he studies it, as he looks through the law, as Jesus lived during that time, as he would know the law, it would be consideration of, am I going to break? Again, today, we face these things today. We should be asking, what is the will of God? And if there's a path of sin that leads to sin, Jesus would have taken it. Because he did not sin. He would not sin. He would put the will of Father above all things. Again, tonight I plan on talking more about what we need to do. Bring out a few more things. There's so many things that we can put into that question. What would Jesus do? So I'm excited to go ahead and break that up. You have to ask that question this morning for yourself. What would you do? If you had the opportunity to do what is right, to please the Father, to set an example to all the world, to everyone who's here, to the community, to anyone, what would Jesus do? Jesus would set that example. He would do the will of the Father. He would pray for strength. Pray that the will would be done. So we extend that invitation to any who need to obey the gospel this morning, to any who need the prayers of the brethren. If there's anything we can